There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, he healed. We open up Holy Scripture, and at least one hopes that Christians who read Holy Scripture would know what the book is about, who the book is about, that Jesus is the sum and substance of the Old Testament. And, well, one could hardly read the New Testament without coming to the conclusion that it's a book about Jesus. Now, this is not obvious. While it should seem obvious to every Christian, it's not obvious to the world, to the unbelieving world. They look at Scripture, and as St. Paul says, they read with a veil over their eyes. They do not see it until Christ comes. The veil is taken away, and suddenly we see what the whole book is about. There's a great story of this in Acts chapter 8 about an Ethiopian eunuch who is reading the Bible. He's traveling along in his chariot, and then he has a question for Philip, who just happens to be there. Who is this about? It's a great question. It is the question, really, of all of Scripture. Pastor Tom Baker joins us on this Monday afternoon, August the 24th. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson in Acts chapter 8, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. He is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Good day, Todd.
So what does this story of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip, what does it show us, basically, about how unbelievers are brought to faith?
Well, to some degree, when I look back at my adult instruction, I would say that 70% of them already were believers. They weren't Lutheran, but they were of a different denomination, etc. Some of them had never been at church, but there were about 30% of them who were not believers. Now, it appears that though this Ethiopian eunuch could have been a believer in the sense that he was going up to Jerusalem to worship, but he had not yet heard anything about Jesus, and therefore when he is reading the text, probably the most important verse is chapter 8, verse 31, when he says, "How can I understand except someone should guide me?" The NIV says, "Someone should explain it to me." But the original Greek there for the word to guide means to be a teacher, to lead someone to a deeper understanding. And this is the way the Holy Spirit works, either with those who are believers and need more information, or even unbelievers. They need to be guided in the Word of God, because as you said, they just don't jump to the conclusion, like when they're reading Isaiah 53, that this is all about Jesus, which it is.
So it's not obvious, especially in the Old Testament, that we're dealing with a book that is about Jesus. Tell us the story of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip, and how what once the eyes are opened to see this, it becomes obvious how that comes about with the Ethiopian eunuch.
Yes, it first says that an angel of the Lord said to Philip to go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, and he said, "This is a desert place." Now, when you take a look at that Greek word, although almost all of them translated as desert, it really means uninhabited area. It was an area where Philip had been around a lot of people doing great ministry, and now the Lord leads him to a place where there are hardly any people at all, which is something for us to keep in mind. We don't necessarily need to be sharing our message only when there's a big population, but sometimes where two or three are gathered in a house, in a Bible study, this could be a desert place, so to speak, and the Holy Spirit has led us there. So he goes, and he runs into, this is very important, an Ethiopian eunuch from the court official of Candace. She was queen of the Ethiopians. This is critical because this is a man who was a Gentile. And remember, we've heard during the gospel readings recently where the Jews say, boy, you got to wash your hands when you come back from the marketplace dealing with Gentiles and unclean animals. And the disciples of Jesus don't do this, and therefore they're unclean. Well, they really aren't, because they have been forgiven their sins, and that forgiveness also goes to the Gentiles. Now, there's a couple of things, and I really want to thank the material of Growing in Christ that I haven't realized. This gentleman, this Ethiopian, had to be rich. Number one, he was riding in a chariot. That is not a cheap form of transportation. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. You just don't go down to the corner store and I like to have a copy of the prophet Isaiah. No, he had to have it copied by someone. So at this point, we find this is a rich Ethiopian who's reading the prophet Isaiah, and Philip hears him. Now, do we want to go to a little break right now, Todd?
Won't you tell the rest of the story here?
Okay, fine. And the Spirit says to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Now, I have never heard the Spirit in my ministry, but I find myself in situations. For example, you get on a plane, all of a sudden you're sitting beside someone that wants to strike up a conversation about religion. I just really enjoyed that. And I didn't decide to go there. I didn't hear the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit does get us involved with individuals, and a lot of times it's just by happenstance from our point of view. Now, Philip says the most important question as he hears him reading from Isaiah the prophet, do you understand what you are reading? And that's when the man says, how can I understand if somebody explains it to me, if somebody doesn't become my guide? And so this is a critical point for the Sunday school teachers to get across to the Sunday school students, that the Holy Spirit can use them as guides. Now, Sunday school child is going to say, how's that possible? Because I don't know the Bible that well. No, but you can bring them to Sunday school. You can invite them to Vacation Bible School. And there are a number of ways in which churches have events where the kids can invite their friends. Now, the passage they're reading, or the Ethiopian is reading, is from Isaiah chapter 53. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. And of course, in his humiliation, justice was denied him. That means he was put to death even though he was innocent. His life is taken away from the earth. Now, those of us who know the New Testament, it's pretty obvious this is talking about Jesus. But for that Ethiopian, no matter how much he realized about the Jewish faith, he knew there was a coming Messiah, but he asked the question immediately, therefore, about whom is the prophet speaking? Is he speaking about himself or about someone else? And even though scholars have even talked about this quite a bit, there's no doubt that this is talking about none other than Jesus. And I find verse 35 very interesting. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. So, as is very clear, Jesus is found throughout the whole Old Testament. And how do we know this? This is very similar to what Jesus did on the road to Emmaus. The disciples were saying, not knowing that it was Jesus they were walking with, haven't you heard about everything going on in Jerusalem? And guess what? Beginning with the scriptures, Jesus went through them. Well, what a Bible study that would have been, showing the promises and the fulfillment of Jesus as the Savior. Now, there's no way you can talk about Jesus without talking about the sacraments, because both had occurred, baptism at Pentecost and the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11. So, we ought not be surprised that as they're passing some water, and Philip has told them about the wonderful benefits of baptism, he says, what prevents me from being baptized? And so, therefore, Philip says, now, the King James has, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, the NIV or the ESV doesn't have that latter part in there, but it is a practice of the early church to baptize adults as they believe in Jesus Christ, and baptism, therefore, now becomes their assurance of salvation. So sure enough, they go down to the water. Guess what? They, therefore, are baptized, and when it's all done, they leave the water, and guess what happens? Philip is taken by the Spirit away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. Now, just a quick aside, the Ethiopian church believes that this gentleman was the one who brought Christianity to Ethiopia, even though it wasn't until the 6th century that the kings of Ethiopia declared Christianity to be their official religion. But there's no doubt that could take a while. It took Constantine till 313 AD to make that decision, so who knows what was going on. And it's quite possible this eunuch went back, told them about that he had heard about the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises.
So it's clear, with a few minutes here before we go to our break, it's clear that what happens in this Ethiopian eunuch being brought to faith is solely the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit plants Philip there. The Holy Spirit has spoken there in the word that he's reading. The Holy Spirit directs Philip to this man. The Holy Spirit is at work in baptism. This is all God's work from beginning to end.
Yes. In fact, one of the things that you want to be very clear with the children about, a lot of children are going to say, and adults also, I'm not really ready to do this, but the Holy Spirit does, as you were saying, help us to understand the Word of God, keeps us in the faith, helps our faith to grow, gives us opportunities to tell others about Jesus. He also helps us to know what to say, and most importantly, he gives us courage and the desire to share the good news. The more you hear about this good news for you, then the more you desire to share it with others. And that's how the Holy Spirit works from our point of view, through a proper hearing of the Word of God in its purity and a proper administration of the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, according to the way God intended it so to be done.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we'll continue with him about another 10 minutes or so, teaching a Sunday school lesson, The Spirit Makes the Church Grow, in the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. I want to go back to a couple of things you said before the break, Tom. One of them is that this baptism seems to kind of come out of the blue because it doesn't say that they discussed baptism. And it's the Ethiopian eunuch who brings up the subject. There's water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? What does that tell you about the message that Philip gave to this Ethiopian eunuch while they were there in that chariot?
It's one thing to talk about Jesus and what he did. Namely, he became incarnate. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. But it's quite another thing to see how the benefits that he won for us come to us. They don't come to us by deciding, okay, I'm going to have faith and I believe this. Or they don't come to us by our will, where we decide I'm going to invite him into my heart. They come to us by the means of grace. And the Lutheran confessions are really excellent at this. When they ask the question, where is the church? The church is where not Christians are or a building is, but the church is where the Word of God is taught in its purity and the sacraments administered rightly. So I was talking recently with another pastor. I said, I've got 7 ingredients in every one of my sermons, and here's a couple of them I always have in every sermon. Namely, you always have the crucifixion of Jesus. You always have a note about the resurrection. You always have baptism, and you always speak about the Lord's Supper. Why? Because they become the means by which a person appropriates or receives, through faith, the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection. In baptism, it's as though I'm the one buried in the tomb, Romans 6. In the Lord's Supper, it's as though I'm the one hanging on the cross for my sins. That's really important, and therefore these sacraments God gives us as assurances that we truly have received both the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, and all the promises. So I can't imagine speaking to somebody about Jesus without bringing up a baptism. Remember, when the Apostle Paul was converted on the road to Damascus, what's one of the first things that happened to him? He was baptized. And time and time again at Pentecost, when Peter is asked by the people, what can we do? He tells them something they can't do. He uses the passive. Be baptized, which means that's a work of God, and what? You will receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's really important to help the children understand that we cannot argue someone into the faith, but through hearing the Word of God, the Holy Spirit creates faith, and therefore our task to be successful isn't to get them converted, but to speak the Word of God in its purity. Remember, Jesus had a disciple called Judas. Are we going to say Jesus was a failure? No. Jesus spoke the Word of God purely. He administered the sacrament of the Lord's Supper rightly, and Judas rejected it. This was not the fault of Jesus, and anymore it's the fault of any of us who speak the Word of God and then are persecuted or people make fun of us, etc.
So this is a pattern that we, and you've already pointed out a couple of the instances, this is a pattern in the entire book of Acts, that those who are brought to faith are baptized, those who are baptized are brought to faith. It happens both ways, but it is unmistakable in the book of Acts. The two go together, the Holy Spirit's work of working faith with baptism.
That's a great point, Todd, because there's that incident where the people have been baptized by John the Baptist, but they have not yet received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the Pentecost baptism, or the laying on of hands of the apostles, as we see, brought them the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's important that you have the proper Pentecost baptism. And therefore, I tell you, the most important decision you make is the church I'm attending, are they really providing valid sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper? Or are these kinds of medicine that have nothing in them?
Now, the picture here of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch is kind of a chance encounter, or it would seem a chance encounter. How should we think about, you said the Holy Spirit gives us opportunity to speak the gospel. Should we think of any of those things as chance encounters, since it's obvious that this one isn't?
I always remember the sainted Dr. Barry talking about time after time, he would be on an airplane or he'd be somewhere, and he'd be running into somebody or talking with them and then sharing the message of the gospel with him. It was a great example for many of us to become more aware of it. And so, therefore, I remember when I drove a yellow cab when I was at the seminary, there were a number of times I'd have a woman with her children in there. We got talking about religion. And when I got to her place, I would turn off the machine and just sit there and continue to talk to her because she seemed so interested. I'd try and tell her what Lutheran churches were in the area, this sort of thing. I had no idea that when I went out on my 12-hour cab that I was going to be running into anybody. But the Lord did that, and I tell you, everybody ought to start a book of what I call coincidences, where things just happen that you just wonder about. How did this happen? It's just so amazing. But I'd like to make one other point about where the Holy Spirit helps us, if I could, Todd.
Sure.
A lot of times in this particular lesson, we're making the point how the Holy Spirit helps us in reaching out to someone else. But the Holy Spirit is also active in the person with whom we are speaking. We all know well the wonderful definition that Luther gives to the third article of the Holy Spirit, where he says, I believe that my own understanding or strength with that, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but instead the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith. So, and I just shared this with a Bible study. I said, when you go to speak to somebody, yes, the Holy Spirit will strengthen you, give you the words to say, but he's doing something else. He can be taking your word and making a change in the person through the words you say. For example, it's not only Philip who had the opportunity to speak to somebody who needed to hear additional revelation. Recently, I myself was asked to speak to a person who unfortunately was heading toward a divorce for which he may be responsible to some degree. Now, initially, I was hesitant to phone him because I wasn't sure what I was going to say to him. But I did some study on marriage according to Ephesians 5 and then finally called him. The conversation lasted over an hour, Todd, at the end of which I commended him for his repentant attitude and desire to keep the marriage intact. And before you think I'm a good marriage counselor, I have to say that for the first 45 minutes, I hardly said anything. And as I listened how the Word of God had already made an impact on this dear Christian. Yeah, I did make some suggestions in understanding Ephesians 5, revealing not just how the wife is to submit to the husband, but the husband is to submit to the wife. He thanked me for the call, after which I had a closing prayer, and we said goodbye to each other. After hanging up, I thanked God. I said, I wish all my calls were this way. And I was really kind of nervous before it because I didn't think we would get anywhere. But there was a perfect example that I was totally surprised by how the Word of God had already had an impact. So the point is simple with this lesson. We have spoken how the Holy Spirit prepares us to minister to those who are in need of having God's word explained. But the Holy Spirit also is looking for the harvest and will lead us to those who, once they hear the message of the gospel, they, by the power of the Holy Spirit, not because of my good words or my eloquence, but simply by hearing the word of God and the promises of the gospel, that person can be enlightened with his gifts, kept in the one holy and true faith. And that's the wonderful, merciful, and gracious God we have. We do not need to fear in talking to anyone because we have the Holy Spirit with us, and nothing is as powerful as the Holy Trinity.
So what you've said there, and it's a very, very well said, how the Holy Spirit, it changes the way we look at the church's task of evangelism. Because usually we think of it as we kind of have to go out there and cold call the world.
Yes.
And instead, what's happened is the Holy Spirit is out ahead of us in his many and various ways through his word alone. He is preparing hearts to hear these things. Now, that doesn't mean we don't preach law and gospel. We don't try to anticipate what the Holy Spirit's done. We're still faithful to that division of law and gospel in God's word, but we must. But now we can trust not in our abilities or fear that we haven't done it right, but trust the Holy Spirit to have guided the entire process from beginning to end.
Yes, many a time I wish I had said it differently, and then get a big surprise that this person saw an insight in there. I didn't. In fact, I stopped. People would come out and say, that was a wonderful sermon, Pastor. And I used to ask them, what would you like best about it? And I'll tell you, half the time they said something I can't remember I said, because the text is so full of wonderful nutrients to the person who is in need that sometimes they pick up something that wasn't even the main point of the sermon. Who cares? Because the Holy Spirit has done his work. And he just used my voice and my ability to speak from the pulpit, and he can do that even with Sunday school children, because he is doing it with Sunday school teachers.
All right, then finally, how would you break it down for us, the long gospel of this text, and the kind of the main point for the kids in the Sunday school room?
Yeah, I really agree with the growing in Christ theme. That is, how does God's church grow? It grows through the means of grace used not by Jesus, because nobody hearing him speak anymore, but through us, Jesus speaks. So the law is, no one can really understand the word on their own. But the gospel is a promise that because of the death of Jesus Christ, we have received the Holy Spirit that not only helps us to understand the text better, but also then moves in the hearts of those with whom we are speaking so that they too may come to faith. Even though, as the text says, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, but instead the Holy Spirit calls me through the gospel.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show Law and Gospel. Next week, Pastor Baker will be with us. We'll be in a Sunday school lesson on Joseph and his brothers from Genesis 37. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
The Sunday school curriculum that you heard Tom talk about before, that's called Growing in Christ. It comes from Concordia Publishing House. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or give Concordia Publishing House a call yourself, 1-800-325-3040. Ask about Growing in Christ. Coming up next on Lutheran Talk Radio 24/7, the church observes Bartholomew the Apostle. He has another name, too. We'll find out what it is. We'll be discussing this with Dr. Curtis Giese of Concordia University, Texas. That's next at issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we will be looking forward to Sunday morning. According to the historic lectionary, Pastor David Peterson will be our guest. We're going to talk about the very familiar but often misunderstood parable of the Good Samaritan. And we're going to begin a brand new series with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. I've really been looking forward to this one. It's a brand new series with Pastor Jonathan Fisk of Worldview Everlasting on Christianity and pop culture. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida. St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia. And Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.